Gates Sports Club has dedicated themselves to creating an environment that supports your personal goals, whatever they may be. That's because Wellgate Sports Club is more than just a gym. Wellgate is Reading's first premier sports club with the staff, programs, and 23,000 square foot facility designed to give you an exceptional experience every day. Now it's never been easier to take advantage of incredible amenities, including Reading's only indoor saltwater pool, outdoor jacuzzi, sauna, luxury towel service, and over 130 exercise classes designed from beginners to experts. For a limited time, you can become a member of Wellgate Sports Club with no enrollment fee. That's a $99 value. In addition, Wellgate Sports Club will provide you with 3 personal training sessions and a nutrition consultation absolutely free. That's another $225 value. There's never been a better time or a better place to get started. Call 768-1205 today for your personal tour. Or stop by 1740 Eureka Way and don't forget to visit online at WellgateSportsClub.com. Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day. Orchard Nutrition Center's creed is their promise, to offer only the highest quality products that follow strict manufacturing guidelines, because you deserve to live life to the fullest. Since 1982, Orchard Nutrition has always believed that we are all in it together, because the food you eat is a lot more than just a daily activity. The things you consume affect every aspect of your life. Orchard Nutrition Center hosts many exciting educational events throughout the year, including seminars each month featuring experts who present the latest information on a variety of health and nutritional topics. The main focus is on helping you understand how your body works and how to live healthy. These seminars are a great way to learn interesting information in person, and there's always an opportunity to ask questions and really get clarification from the experts. Bring your friends and family. Reservations are not required, but seating is limited. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook for seminar schedules, speakers, and topics. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly, local, whole food store.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing suds!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, baby.
I'm getting that good afternoon thing down.
Yeah, you are.
I am.
Much better.
I'm really working on it. Hey, so this is Aaron Ryan.
And Bill Cundiff.
And Bob Martin.
And together we actually become We the People. Otherwise, we're just knuckleheads.
Hey, speak for yourself.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. So, first show of the new year. So, of course, we're going to hold with tradition, and we're going to have Pastor Guy Asherman on from Reading Christian Fellowship. Been a big year for Christian everything. Persecution, weird laws, all sorts of stuff around the world and actually in our own country. So while we're waiting for him, because he actually has church until noon, I think it is, we
What's up with that?
I know. I know. He had to stay till the end because he's in front and they would notice if he was missing. And so his idea, actually, when he got a hold of me a couple weeks ago, was to also have Shelley Gibbs, the executive director for CareNet, on at the same time, because obviously we've heard tons of stuff about Planned Parenthood, and CareNet is like the alternative to Planned Parenthood, I guess. I'm sure she'll correct me, but in my humble opinion, that's kind of what I'm looking at.
It's the other option.
I kind of like, I put this all on the website, by the way. It's wethepeopleradio.us, and you can find all the information about our guests and how to contact them and stuff we'll be talking about. And I've heard the chat room's having problems, so if you're listening live on Sunday, you may have issues. Folks in Philadelphia and New Jersey, you don't have to worry about that. You can just, you know, sit back and listen. But CareNet and the our network of more than 1,100 pregnancy centers offer hope to women facing unplanned pregnancies by providing practical help and emotional support. They have choices. Imagine that. They have options. So the pro-choice people hate their choices, which is kind of funny. But that's kind of the way it always works. So let's see. I had Shelley's bio sitting right here, and now it's missing. Shelley, are you in there? Can you save save me from my own fishing trip here through my email that didn't come up as quickly as I needed it? How long have you been the executive director?
I have been for about 3.5 years. I came on staff in late August of 2012, and prior to that, I had been a board member for about 3 years as well.
Yeah, so you decided to come on right when everything was getting
warmed up.
Exciting.
Yeah, and it's just now getting even more exciting. So.
Yeah, we have some California laws that are coming up that we weren't really going to go through today, just because that kind of leaves the guys on the East Coast hanging, and you guys are involved in that with your organization, so we didn't want to put you in the crosshairs on that. Can you give us an idea of what it is, you know, regardless of position and all that?
Just, as far as the bill that was recently passed, the law?
Yeah. What
okay, absolutely. All right, well, I'll just speak to that a little bit, and if you have any questions in between, just jump in with me. But in essence, a very large organization referred to as NARAL partnered with Planned Parenthood and an assemblyman out of District 17 named David Chu. And they had been writing publications over the last few years about kind of what a joke pregnancy centers are and how because they're not offering all of the options, and what they mean by that is because pregnancy centers are not offering abortion, that they should kind of come at us and say, look, you need to be either offering all of those options, and if you don't, then you need to refer for them. So they put together this bill in which would force all faith-based pregnancy centers across the state of California, and there's approximately 200, some of which are medical and some of which are non-medical. And that's a whole other category of how those are defined. But to say that these 200-plus clinics are faith clinics is what they referred to all of us as, and we were lumped in. I guess they went around and kind of like a secret shopper and investigated some different clinics throughout the state and found a common thread that we weren't offering all of the choices in an appropriate manner. And so this bill then has been passed. It was passed by the Assembly in the summer, later passed by the Senate in the fall and signed by Governor Brown on Friday, October 9th, that went into law, which is now in effect as of January 1. That states that all pregnancy centers in the state of California must refer for abortions and make sure that every woman has immediate and free access to an abortion and as well as contraception. So it has to be posted. The bill is specific if you want to go to. It's public knowledge. It's AB 775, and it goes through and it talks about the requirements for pregnancy centers. So there is a handful, I would say under 50 of the 200, because we're all separate entities and we're all our own nonprofits, there was not one larger entity that is a class action suit. So as an example, Pacific Justice Institute is representing us, ACLJ is representing other centers, and they would kind of pick and choose who they were going to represent, and there's co-plaintiffs. So these particular pregnancy centers that said, hey, this is a breach of the First Amendment, you can't force us to share this information if it's against our religious beliefs, etc. And then trying to create a platform of actually like, okay, so what's some of your findings, whether they're true or false or some of them are made up, whatever those are, actually let's have a conversation about them. But to pass a bill without having the conversation and to say, no, we're not going to talk to you about it, we're just going to force this down your throat. So so far the suits that have been presented have been denied. So there's many people of these pregnancy centers in California that are saying, okay, what's the next step? So as an example, we are, our chief counselor is Kevin Snyder from Pacific Justice Institute based out of Sacramento, California. And I just spoke with him this last week, and he said, look, we're going to continue to pursue this. I will keep you in the loop. We're not going public with anything yet. So that looks like potentially, if there would be an appeal, I can't speak to that. I'm not saying that we're appealing it. In the interim, until we figure out what the next step is, which will be very telling this next week, depending upon, I'll pick on you, Aaron.
Okay.
Say that you walked in my pregnancy center.
Right.
And you said, I don't see that sign posted. I'm going to go over to the county. I'm going to rat you out. The county then comes back to me, if and when they can do that, with manpower and says, here is a notice for you, Shelley. And since you don't have it posted, you have 30 days to get this posted. If I don't post it within 30 days, I get a $500 fine. So you come in again and you say, oh, well, it's been 30 days. She didn't post it yet. You go back in, you make a phone call or whatever you do, you tell on me again. They come back and say, not only have you not paid your $500 fine, you haven't posted it, now it's $1,000. And subsequently after that, it stays at $1,000 and fines every pregnancy center that does not adhere to the law.
Wow.
So that's a summary of kind of where we're at and where what all pregnancy centers will be facing this next week as soon as everyone's been closed for the new year. So when we reopen on Monday, it'll kind of be that same vantage point of, okay, just let's see what happens with that.
So what's different? I mean, as far as the new law, is it saying that you have to offer abortions at your facility or that you just have to refer them to somebody who can?
We have to refer.
Okay. Okay.
So,
and that's
the language is pretty specific in that it's, you know, as much as they, I'll say they, I'll lump them all together, but
sure.
As much as they spent the time and the energy, the thousands of dollars or whatever went into lobbying all of this and to getting this pushed through, the statement is fairly small. So as an example, I'm not downsizing it by any means, but they went through all this trouble, and I believe with all of my heart that this is just step one.
Yeah.
So the exact verbiage, I'll just read it to you, that is required by the state of California, that is, you know, been pushed through with law that Governor Brown signed, it says, California has public programs that provide immediate, free, or low-cost access to comprehensive family planning services, including all FDA-approved methods of contraception, prenatal care, and abortion for eligible women. To determine whether you qualify, contact, and then we have to fill in our county social service office and the number for that office.
Well, okay, so on one hand, people are probably thinking, well, that's good, so if they don't have the money to do it, they can access that. But that's kind of stupid because your services are free.
Our services are already free, yes,
right.
Absolutely. And if a young girl, and this is another thing with the state of California, it's actually coming in for vote again in November of 16, but it's the Parental Consent Act. So right now in the state of California, it is that if you are 12 years old or older, you can walk into the abortion clinic right in Reading or Planned Parenthood and say, I would like an abortion. You don't need proof of income. You don't need an ID. And they have you fill out paperwork for the state family pact. That is the state budget that approves contraception, abortion, etc. So, you know, I'll pick on myself. I have a daughter who's almost 12. You know, in a few months, my daughter can walk in the abortion clinic if she was sexually active and found herself to be pregnant. And without my knowledge, now she can't take an aspirin at school.
I was just
going to
say
that. She can't go to West
that.
Camp.
Yeah.
You know, she can't go to West Camp without a doctor's note with all of the medicine in the prescribed bottle, unopened, given to the nurse. I could go on for days about all that. But she can't do any of those things, but she can walk in off the street. And my tax dollars that I don't have a choice about go into the state family pact budget, and it will pay for my daughter to have an abortion without me ever knowing.
So
the fact that these services are free, I mean, any girl, even kids that are homeless, to be honest with you, they have a smartphone or they've got an Obama phone.
Sure.
They know where to get an abortion. They don't need to come into a pregnancy center that's faith-based to say, oh, well, I want one. Where can I get one? This whole year that this bill has come through and been pushed around, we get fake calls all of the time. We get fake calls and fake emails.
Oh, really?
And we know the difference. Oh, absolutely. We know the difference between when someone is truly seeking help and maybe they're on the fence and they're waning between what they want to do. Maybe they are struggling. Maybe they are homeless. Maybe they are totally unplanned pregnancy. And we do actually talk to them about their options. It's referred to as options counseling. And that's on our website. We talk about that. Like, hey, you've got three options in front of you. You can have this baby. You can put your child up for adoption. And you can have an abortion. Hey, because we are faith-based, we can help educate you on abortion so that you're not going in blind, but we definitely don't refer for them. We're not condoning it. But we want to make sure that you're making the most educated choice for you. What you choose to do is your choice. This is how we can help you. This is what we do. These are our free services. And a girl knows where she can get an abortion. She talks to her best friend, or she talks to her boyfriend, or he drives her down there. You know, every Wednesday in Shasta County is what they refer to as procedure day. You walk in the door, it's free. You know, it's so if you're under 12 weeks, you can get a free abortion. And so this thing that they're pushing through with the bill, I'm so sorry. I feel like I'm on my soapbox right now. I just get really excited.
No, it's okay. It's kind of a soapbox issue.
It's just so in our faith. And one of the things that's really unique, whether you are a believer or not, this is not a faith-based issue. This goes back to in the beginning of the 19th century or the 20th century in the early 1900s when Planned Parenthood was actually established with Margaret Sanger, who was their founder. These clinics were going in the ghetto.
Yep.
And if you read anything about Margaret Sanger, you can read all of her quotes about how Jews and blacks were just should be extinguished. So the purpose was to put these clinics in these neighborhoods so that they would stop reproducing and that we could have a clean white race.
Yep. She was a big time eugenicist and
communist, absolutely.
She was a scary woman. We have to take a really quick break here, and we're going to come right back. I've got your bio now on the website. I put all the stuff about CareNut, and I got so carried away with cutting and pasting, I sort of forgot.
That's
so,
all right.
If folks are listening live on Sunday afternoon, you should refresh your page. You can see the rest of the info. You're listening to We the People Radio. Please join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to We the People on Community Talk Radio for the North State, AM 1460 KCNR.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank. Professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Abby, will you be joining us January as we kick off the 2016 Haven Humane Society's Second Tuesday Dinners at Kahuna's Mongolian Barbecue?
Yes, I love seeing the grill warriors cooking on that Mongolian grill.
That's right. And with something for everyone, it's a lot of fun loading up your bowl with all your favorites, creating your own stir-fry and sauce combinations.
Please join us on Tuesday, January 12th at Kahuna's Mongolian Barbecue on Market Street as they kindly donate a portion of the proceeds to Haven to help care for the animals and work towards placing them in forever homes.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
By now, I'm sure you're aware of the many advantages that solar energy offers you and your family. Clearly, solar is finding its way into our everyday life. Hi, my name is Sue Blake of Powerhouse Solar. At Powerhouse Solar, we've been installing solar systems on North State homes since 2003. It's important to know that all solar is not the same. As a solar contractor, we partner with SunPower because having just celebrated their 30th anniversary in the solar industry, they have a proven track record. SunPower is an American solar company which developed and patented the industry's most efficient solar cells and solar panels on the market for a complete solar energy solution. There are many cost-effective solar packages available, some starting for less than a cup of coffee a day. And we want you to have the information you need so that you know of all the solar options available for your family. Experience and commitment to quality. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
If God was here, he'd tell you to your face.
Special little shout-out there to Planned Parenthood. He might be some kind of sinner. Yep, I'll just say it because I'm not a pastor. and I don't work for CareNet, so I can slide that in there. So Shelley, you guys are an alternative, but you provide a lot of the same similar services. You do pregnancy tests, ultrasounds, parenting classes, and it also says here material assistance. So before we get too carried away in the issue itself, you're supported privately, I'm assuming. Donation?
Yeah, absolutely. We're a faith-based nonprofit, so we're just supported by the local community, pastors and churches, business people, anyone that has a vested interest in supporting families in our community in this way.
Okay, so for people who are, you know, there are a lot of people who listen to this and they're mad and it's like, what can I do about it? Support your local CareNet. Are they all called CareNet? Is CareNet the umbrella name over all of them?
They are not all called CareNet. We have the option to choose to be an affiliate and we have the option to choose to utilize their name. So there are centers all over the state of California and many of them are CareNet affiliates, but they might have a different name. An example would be Living Well Medical Clinic in Grass Valley, California. They're a CareNet affiliate, but they don't go by the name.
Okay.
Sacramento Pregnancy Center is another example.
So for somebody who doesn't know anything about this stuff, like me, I'm a good example of that, and who, you know, I don't have any young kids anymore or anything, so how would I know if the center in my area that's not called Planned Parenthood, I mean, that's a clue right there. So it's not called Planned Parenthood, so it might be a good one, and I'd like to support it. How would they know?
Whether it was faith-based or not?
Yeah, well, how would they know if it was a good place to, you know, what are some things to look for, if it's a good outfit to support or not?
Well, I think that if you have a vested interest and you want to know where your money's going, from a practical standpoint, at the ground level, I think people should just walk in the door. You should walk in the door, ask a couple questions, ask for a tour of the facility, meet some of the team, and look and see, like, okay, what services are you offering? See if they have any type of things that they publish, like if it's a quarterly newsletter, or do they send out an annual Christmas card, or how do they communicate with their donor base? What are their special events? I would attend an event, you know. There's usually, on an annual basis, a Walk for Life that's hosted in the community, as well as some type of fundraising banquet or gala. And so attending an event is a good way to get an overview of the organization and where they're currently at and where they're going, perhaps even some history. And so I would encourage people just to walk in their community and say, hey, I'd like to learn a little bit more about you. And even through this bill, we've had many people in the community say, look, this is wasn't on my radar, and all these videos that have come out this year, and I want to have an interest. So whether people choose to donate an in-kind donation, like, oh, my kids have outgrown these baby items, I want this to go directly to a family, or they donate, you know, diapers or wipes, or they have a monetary donation. We also do an event throughout the year called a baby bottle drive that businesses and churches host, where you fill up a baby bottle with cash, check, or coin, and you return that back to the center. So that's another way to give on a practical level. Or if you just want a one-time donation, or a lot of donors say, look, I specifically want to give you this money, and I want to designate it toward your baby boutique, or I want this to specifically go toward this family for this reason. So there's many things that come in that we have an option. You know, just recently at Christmas, we had some donors contact us and say, we want to help pay for you people's utility bills. If you know a couple families that are really struggling at Christmas, we'd like to do that. Another donor base came in and said, look, we want to adopt 5 families for Christmas and buy everyone all their Christmas presents. So we don't have a Christmas gift program, but just out of relationship, these things develop. And people say, look, I have a vested interest in who you're serving. I love to see what you're doing and what you're about. So it's a beautiful way to impact the community.
Nice. So for all the people that are thinking, well, all these guys do is talk them out of an abortion, and then they're stuck with a baby they can't handle, you know, if you're helping people with their electrical bill, it kind of sounds like you're doing slightly more than that.
Well, that is a big misconception anyway when you're on, I'll say, at the other side of the fence. And we're not trying to be on one side of the fence or the other. We don't even spend time being against something. This bill came at us hard and strong, and we spend our time and energy like helping families. Like when we have, we barely advertise. We don't have a big, huge marketing budget. You know, it's word of mouth and people finding us on the internet saying, look, where can I get a free pregnancy test? And it starts with that. It's a practical need that needs to be met. Or maybe someone already knows that they want to keep their child. They're not on the fence about what their options are, but they're really struggling financially. They don't feel equipped. Maybe it's their first baby. We are so connected to all the different public government agencies in the city, whether it's the First 5 program, WIC program, Nurse Family Partnership, Shasta County Public Health. Like, all of these people come and refer clients to us saying, look, this is how CareNet can help you. This is how it can make an impact. So walking them through their pregnancy, if they're, you know, 15 years old or 18 or 21 or 35, and they might all be in a different season of their life, but maybe they're ill-equipped. So we've got pregnancy education. We've got labor and delivery classes. We've got parenting classes. We do group settings and then one-on-one as well. And it goes on and on. We've got post-abortion counseling as well. So it's something that wherever they're at, we want to meet them where they're at and help them get to that next season of their life and to see them thrive and not be struggling and not be burdened and not be in this cycle of generational poverty and feeling stuck. And a lot of girls, a lot of times, and guys, abortion may be their first option because they know it's free. And to them, it's not a child yet. It's an it, and they can just get rid of it. And they can move on with their life. And there's a lot of repercussions physically, emotionally, spiritually that can happen from that. But that, again, is their choice. We still want to be available to them. Like, hey, we're not here to judge you. We're here to help you. So whatever you choose, we're gonna be with you and walk you through that choice. So we also have a mentoring program that if someone did choose abortion and they're not doing well, or they just need some extra help, or maybe their test is negative and they're just in a funky season of their life. So kind of just are here in the community, free services with open arms.
Nice. And Bill brought up something during the break. He was, you know, we didn't want to make our time with you actually all about Planned Parenthood, because that completely misses the boat. So I wanted to make sure that we got all that information out, but now we have all these questions. Okay, so a 12-year-old goes into an abortion clinic and goes through with it, does have an abortion, and they have some sort of problem. I mean, what happens to them?
Yeah, what point do they contact the parents? And then who foots the bill for that, and who's responsible?
Well, I can't speak to every detail of that process, only because I am not in the middle of that process, but, you know, intimately involved. I do know that if she does have complications, she can go back to the clinic, and they'll do what they can within reason where, let's just say that they didn't get all of the baby out, and they need to go back in and take out the rest of the baby, and she has an infection. They will might prescribe her antibiotics, and they're still not going to contact her parents.
Wow.
And that girl is most likely not going to go to her parents or even a medical clinic, say that their family's on Medi-Cal. She knows that Medi-Cal is going to get billed. Mom might get a notification that she went to the doctor. She's not going to go to, you know, Shasta Community Health Center or Hilltop Medical Clinic or her local doctor, for, you know, her main medical provider, because someone's going to find out about that. So a lot of times when it's all behind the scenes and in secret, if there are complications, and this is all public knowledge, like you can read about the statistics with this, you can read about teenage pregnancies and STDs, 15 to 19 years old, etc. But all of those things that they're exposed to, yeah, let's just keep this in the dark. And if it's such a, you know, it's like a devil's advocate thing. If it's not a dark and dirty thing, why are you hiding it?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and if it's so amazing and it's such a powerful choice, then why are you so sneaky about the whole thing? And why are you taking people's money without communicating where that money's going? So it's very unique, and I don't want to spend all our time either talking about this, but
no,
I do
but we
want
were
to
just
point out.
Kind of curious, because you know there are a lot of people who, you know, they like me. My kids were little in the 80s, and you just didn't have that.
Right.
Just didn't. I mean, I'm sure it existed out there, but it wasn't as commonplace as it is now. But over this last year, for all those of us who didn't know squeak about Planned Parenthood, I think you only needed to see one of those videos to just absolutely have your, you know, hair blown back. Like, they're doing what?
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden, and that's actually how I first heard you speak. It was right on the heels of all the videos and all the awareness there, and looking at how we can, you know, take our tax dollars back from things like that. And Bob
right.
pointed
and
out.
Many people aren't aware of that.
Oh, yeah. And Bob pointed out, too, that, you know, for our folks in Philadelphia that'll listen on Monday, they had Dr. Gosnell, I think the word
right.
doctor is just kind of use that word loosely, but there's a lot of scary stuff that goes on in that world. So for all the touting of how it's, you know, free and available and we need to make that available to everyone, doesn't sound like there's a lot of caring in a lot of situations. And programs like yours are all about supporting them not long term, not when their kids are in college, but I mean, it isn't just like you're pregnant or you're not, and here's your pregnancy test and see ya. There's
a
lot more to that.
It's actually they become like part of our family in essence. And what we get comments all of the time, people like, we can't believe how nice everyone is here. We can't believe you guys remember our name. I go to my doctor's office and they don't even know who I am. They're wondering why I'm there. Or, you know, I go to this clinic and I have to start all over with all of my stuff. And it's just the way our team is. It's the spirit of the center. Like, you walk in and it's just different. And so we have the opportunity to walk them through their pregnancy, and we have resources all the way through their child's third year. So it's almost 4 years that we can be in relationship with them if they choose to be in the program that long. And it's pretty phenomenal the impact that we're having in the hundreds and hundreds of families that we serve. And there are people that just like, hey, I just need pregnancy verification. Absolutely, let's get you everything you need, and what else do you need? And they may have said five different ways as we are facilitating their intake information that they need help with food, or they need help with, they're in transitional housing, or they don't have a doctor. And we're able to refer them to all these other places in the community that we're in relationship with. You know, a lot of times we'll find that girls don't have a doctor, they don't have insurance, and they find out they're pregnant. And we are connected to three amazing OB clinics that are not, you know, shouting from the rooftops, but they're faith-based. Like, these are legitimate agencies that are in relationship with us that say, you know what, we don't want people to go without care, especially in their first trimester. Refer them to us. We will see them without their insurance, even if it's pending. We'll figure it out. We'll backbill. We'll do whatever we have to do. And the heart of these clinics, as well as ours, is to make sure that people have the care that they need and they are being taken care of. And we've only heard, you know, on the outside from when people have been to the abortion clinic of, hey, this is how I was treated, or they didn't even care, or, you know, I don't, and this is a whole other subject matter, how in the world is a surgical procedure for a 12-year-old an outpatient procedure?
Yeah, no
she
kidding.
She doesn't have pre-op, she doesn't have post-op, she doesn't have counseling, she's not meeting with a doctor, and yet they're going to rip a life out of her womb. If you had a skin graft, you would have all of those things that would take place. But when it comes to the subject matter, politically, religiously, whatever category you want to put it in, it gets all convoluted and twisted and hidden. And now all of a sudden it's a secret and no one needs to know. And our heart is that people are making an educated decision. You know, another example would be that if you want an ultrasound, the only way you can have an ultrasound at the abortion clinic is if you say you want to have an abortion. That's so that they can find where the baby is so they know where to take it out.
Oh.
They're not actually showing you the ultrasound and equipping you and educating you on the heartbeat, fetal development, how big the baby is, showing you pictures of development stages and having you make a decision based on that.
Well, it sounds like most of the time it's kind of geared toward a single, we'll call it a goal. We have to take another really quick break. We're going to come right back. We're speaking with Shelley Gibbs from our local mm-hmm. CareNet. And you should check in your own community and see what's available for folks in your community that want alternatives to the Planned Parenthood machinery, I guess, for lack of a better word. You can find information about that on our website, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Rich Novelli, president of Wellgate Sports Club.
And I'm Allie Evers, proud owner of Boheme Spa.
At Wellgate, we're dedicated to building a club focused on improving the quality of your life, which is why we are so excited to introduce our new partner, Boheme Spa.
Thank you, Rich. Both Boheme Spa and Wellgate Sports Club share the same business philosophy and commitment to mind, body, and health. Conveniently located inside the Wellgate Sports Club, Boheme Spa is Reading's premier Aveda Concept Spa, featuring the complete line of Aveda products and Aveda signature services.
Wellgate Sports Club, in partnership with Boheme Spa, is proud to announce a groundbreaking new membership category called Rejuvenate. In addition to a standard premium access membership, Rejuvenate members receive 2 spa treatments per month from Boheme Spa for the term of the membership.
Reward yourself for your hard work and effort at the club with relaxing and restorative treatments.
Call 768-1205 today. Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, groceries, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocery. Mighty Fine, $2.99 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
Hi, it's Linda Bott
and Molly Kidd. Join us on Thursday night during On the Spot at 6 p.m.
Also on the first Thursday of every month, join Rhonda Ball and James Masada from Enjoy the Magazine. We bring you art, entertainment, food, highlights, and all the stuff going on in the North State.
Don't forget the giveaways, lots of laughs, and great information.
That's On the Spot Thursdays at 6 p.m.
here on KCNR 1460.
Brought to you by Dandelion Gift and Apparel, Wind River Resort and Casino, and Crackmaster Windshield and Repair.
The holidays are on us at Redding Kia, home of the 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty and complimentary lifetime oil changes with every vehicle purchased. Treat yourself to a 2015 Optima, 2016 Forte, 2016 Sportage, 2016 Sorento, or a 2016 Soul, and Kia Motors will make your first two payments for you. Plus, when the holidays are on us, your first payment won't be due until spring. That's 5 months. What will you do with all that extra money during the holidays? This is the best sale we've had all year at Redding Kia. Kia Motors will make your first two payments for you, and you don't have to make a payment until next spring. Take a test drive, make a great deal, and enjoy your holidays. Plus, tax, license, government fees, any dealer documentation charges, and any emission testing charges. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com. On approval of credit, must finance through Kia Motors Finance, subject to prior sale, ends 1/4/16. The holidays are on us. Redding Kia, Cypress Avenue, RedingKia.com.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
You love the light you kill. The priest is on the phone. Your father hit the wall. Your mom disowned you. Don't suppose I'll ever know. For me to be a man, there's something I can change. I live around here.
Welcome back. You're joining We the People Radio. We are speaking with Shelley Gibbs, Executive Director for CareNet. And Pastor Guy Asherman, our other guest, has arrived. He said 12:45. Apparently, you know.
Says 12:45.
Apparently, you know your schedule.
Well, I try.
So you and Shelley have spoken together, you know, as a team before.
Yes, we have.
Bunches of times. You know,
we're great supporters of Shelley. She does a great job.
Exactly.
Hi, Shelley.
Hi there.
So, Bill had a thing right before the break.
I had a situation here a few months ago at my place of employment. We had a company that came in to service our first aid kit. We have a big kit that hangs on the wall, and somebody had put some aspirin and some antacids in that first aid kit. And he took them out, brought them up to the front counter and said, hey, you can't have these in your first aid kit. You can get sued for administering health care. That's illegal.
Those darn antacids. You never know what's
in
them.
Well, yeah, yeah. So I just find it ironic that as an employer, you can't supply an employee with an aspirin or an antacid, but the state says it's okay for a 12- or 13-year-old kid to go in and get an abortion. And, I mean, a surgical procedure and not tell their parents. It's just so bizarre. I mean, where are we living?
How long has that been
How
long has that been in existence? And is it everywhere or just in stupid California?
Well, California is actually leading the nation, but there is there's 11 states that have that in place. So there's 39 that don't and 11 that do. And so we are one of the 11 that allows that for that age group.
Interesting. So in the past, if somebody came in if somebody comes into a center like yours, you know, whether it's a CareNet center or it's something like that, it's a not Planned Parenthood center, you were never required to give abortion as an option, but I'm pretty sure you probably had that conversation a lot of times with people.
No, we do. I mean, it's not every clinic is that way. I mean, we do post in our paperwork that we're very upfront about it. When they come in and every person that walks in and is requesting a service, they fill out a paperwork, just one sheet, really quick. And it's stated on there that we do not refer for abortions. We're forthcoming about that, but we do discuss their options with them. And so one of their options is abortion, and we do have information. It's actually there's some that are published by non-faith-based entities, and then there's some that are published by faith-based entities. An example of that would be we have a couple pamphlets that focus on the family, produces and publishes and provides to pregnancy centers, but they got medical doctors and involved in that process, and we have information about the morning after pill and the abortion pill. And then we've obtained what we refer it's a flip chart, and that is actually discusses abortion procedures. So we don't stick that in people's faces. We don't, you know, have it right in front of them as soon as they walk in the door and say, here, we're trying to scare you. Or we don't use scare tactics. We just meet them where they're at. They bring up the subject and they have questions or they want to talk about it. We want to make sure that they get the information.
So the difference in the new law is even though you were letting them know that abortion was an option, the new law says you have to take it a step further and actually give them a referral for an abortion,
right,
if that's the way they want to go. In the past, you would give them the information, and then they would make that decision and seek out that service somewhere else.
Right.
Okay.
And it's really easy to find it.
Oh, sure, sure. It's,
yeah, no
it's
kidding.
It's not a secret. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you, so since you're here with us, what do you see at your church with things like this? What do you hear?
Well, of course, we work very closely with Shelley on some of these issues. And our church is very alarmed. We are trying to strategize a little bit in terms of when they come knocking on our door, what are we going to do? I don't think it's wise to wait until an event takes place. And what's happening, of course, with CareNet here in Reading is impacting our ministry. So it's certainly heightened our awareness and our concern and our teaching, our whole sense of responsibility before God, which is a higher authority than government.
Higher than Jerry Brown?
Much higher. Yeah.
Wow.
So
just wanted to clear that up.
But I think the church as a whole needs to really visit these issues of sovereignty.
Sure.
And what do we do when the laws of the land conflict with the laws of God?
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking, because, okay, let's say Shelley's facility was an offshoot of your church or sponsored by your church, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
It's a service that you guys provide in your church,
mm-hmm,
but it's open to the public.
Mm-hmm.
Are you subject to this new law then? Not that you have this, but, you know, if you did.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting question, Aaron, because as I understand, and Shelley, please correct me if I'm wrong, but CareNet is a 501c3 charitable religious corporation. It's exactly the same
status as a church.
As churches.
Sure.
Most of them, anyway, 99%.
But if they're not technically a church, is that how they're getting away with it? Or?
Well, I don't. Legally, there's no difference.
Yeah, I know. I don't.
And so, you know, so what the church needs to ask itself today is if they can do this there, they can do it anywhere. And we anticipate fully that they are going to. In terms of, you know, how does the situation with CareNet impact Reading Christian Fellowship? I think it impacts all ministries. We all do ministry together.
Sure.
We refer people to Shelley's organization. And if this is the situation, this all impacts, you know, who do we refer to, who do we not refer to? I think what's happening at CareNet now permeates all ministries.
Sure. It's no longer freedom of religion. It's freedom of religion until the state wants to be in control of part of it, in which case they tell you what to do. And then you can still be the boss of the rest of it until they decide they want to be involved in that too.
And here's an interesting thought. Even for people who may not take issue with this particular law, even if somebody is listening and disagrees with Shelley or disagrees with me, they tend to just kind of write it off and say, oh, well, they should not do that. Because, you see, the sacred veil has been pierced.
Yeah, it's coming for you. Yeah.
And if they can go after them, they can come after me. It may be on a different issue. You know, and if we don't stand together, we'll all hang individually. So.
Mm-hmm.
And so even for people who may disagree on some of the issues, I think it's imperative for all churches to say, this is not okay. Stop. Because, again, the floodwaters are coming.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's another interesting thought. At least I think it is.
Well, you're far away. Yeah.
You judge me. But what the state does with folks is it holds over their head their approval or disapproval of your message. Okay? If they disapprove of your message, what they say is, we will charge you cash monies because you're not doing it the way we want to.
That's what she was saying, like $500 the first round, or no, you get a warning, then you get 30 days, mm-hmm. then it's going to cost you $500.
And so if you think about that, and that would also refer to the area of taxes as well.
Yes.
That therefore you've divided ministry into two groups. You have divided ministry into those who are approved by the state and those who are not approved by the state. And when that happens, you have established a state church, which, of course, is obviously in violation of the First Amendment.
Which would be obviously why we came here in the first place.
Yeah. But I think that the government is very, very close to doing that right now. And I don't expect, if things continue the way they're going now, I don't expect that the law of the land is going to protect us.
Yeah, no, it hasn't been real solid.
No.
In the recent past. We need to take one more quick break before the top of the hour. We got our breaks all fouled up. We were chatting. We chatted through the breaks. Imagine that. We never do that. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
You're listening to We the People Radio on KCNR AM 1460.
Whether it's a 7-year-old battling cancer, a dad injured in a car accident, or me, a mom of two saved by blood transfusions. Every 3 seconds, someone is in need of blood. You don't have to be a doctor, a firefighter, or a police officer to save lives like mine. Donating blood makes you a hero. Contact Blood Centers of the Pacific at our own Reading Shasta Blood Center, 221-0600.
Slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Didn't have to keep it. Wouldn't put you through it. You could have swept it from your life, but you wouldn't do it. No, you wouldn't do it. And you're having our baby.
We're having flashbacks.
Yeah.
I'm a woman in love and I love what to do.
We're time traveling, Bob.
It wouldn't be a hit song today.
No, and back then, you totally weren't thinking about all this stuff.
No, not at all.
I completely forgot about that song. Bob never forgets anything. If it's a musical,
yes.
Like he's like the vault. All right, Shelley, what are we missing? What have we not discussed with you? We have 2 minutes, so, you know, feel free to expand on anything.
You can take my time, too.
We're sharing.
I think the one thing, it was a kind of a fleeting thought where we ended right before the break, is just that the two main demographics where all of this started, you know, approximately 100 years ago, those same parties, and what I was talking about is Planned Parenthood being in the ghetto with Jews and blacks.
Yep.
It blows my mind, it breaks my heart, and it really needs to be something that we as American people pay attention to. The women, Jewish women of America and black women of America co-sponsored this bill.
What?
So the very people that, where it all started, that demographic, and those were the main numbers, and actually African Americans are the number one demographic of the highest rate of abortions, they are the ones that are actually co-laboring with, you know, the government to say, yes, we're behind this needs to happen. Abortions need to be free and accessible to every woman. And so, you know, whatever is going to come at us with the government, we just need to be aware of where it's coming from and how it's coming, and that not so much that we spend a ton of time and energy with rebuttals, but that we are prepared, like, hey, you know what, actually, this is what we're doing. And that's been our biggest thing, even with writing declarations for this lawsuit with Pacific Justice Institute, is to say, look, we don't need to focus on all that over there. This is what we're doing. This is how we serve the community. You know, how can you go into Good News Rescue Mission, you know, our local homeless shelter, and say, we don't like the fact that you're preaching the gospel. You should be telling people about Muslims or Islam or the Quran. Like, what's next is my point. And so,
yeah, if they can get their foot in the door.
Right.
All
right.
And
it just depends on what the subject matter is for the day, what the flavor is of the day. And right now for 16, as we walk into this new year, it's pretty big subject matter. But we're going to keep doing what we do. We're going to keep blessing families and helping people right where they're at. And we try to be very good stewards with donors' finances, whether it's monetary or an in-kind donation, and just really get people involved. So we're always in need of volunteers and people getting more exposed to this subject matter in our city.
Well, that's important to know, because there's so many things people can't affect. This is something where you can actually go in and make a huge difference, whether they help you with finances or stuff or time or whatever. So if this is an issue you're passionate about, figure out a way to get involved. It's totally worth it. Thank you so much, Shelley. We hope you're enjoying you guys getting to ski up there in Bend, or...
No, I'm not skiing this weekend, but I'm...
Just looking at the snow? Just a snow licker?
I'm here with
licker.
Friends and family. It's been a phenomenal weekend.
Oh,
nice.
Thank you so much for having me. It was an honor.
We love you, Shelley.
Thanks very much
Thank
for taking
you.
A break.
Love you, too.
You can find all the information about CareNet and our guest that we just had for the past hour on our website, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
And this is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Leaving behind a massive cleanup and recovery job. The river's receding everywhere except far southern tips of Missouri and Illinois. The Merrimack River, a St. Louis area tributary that caused widespread damage last week, is now below flood stage in the hard-hit Missouri towns of Pacific and Eureka. Demonstrators have set fire to the Saudi embassy in Tehran and taken to the streets from Bahrain to Pakistan to protest Saudi Arabia's execution of a Shiite cleric. He was executed yesterday along with 46 other people convicted of terrorism charges. It was the largest carried out by Saudi Arabia in more than 30 years. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The Angels from Visiting Angels are standing by to care for the loved ones in your life who need in-home care. If you have a family member or friend who needs assistance at home with hygiene, meals, light housework, errands, or companionship, I hope you'll consider Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. If you know someone who wants to remain independent, these are the people who can help. Rates are surprisingly affordable, and up to 24-hour in-home care is available. You can even select your caregiver before care begins. Franchise opportunities are also available. With more than 500 franchised locations nationwide, there's an office near you. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or online at visitingangels.com. For senior home care from the real-life angels of Visiting Angels, call toll-free 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care at 877-374-LIVE or online at visitingangels.com.
Are you making New Year's resolutions? A new CareerBuilder.com survey suggests a new job may be at the top of your list.
A fifth of the over 3,200 employees polled said leaving their current job for a new one was number one on their list. That's up 5% from last year. Among younger workers, that number's even higher, 30% for millennials ages 18 to 34. Over a third responding want to save more money this year, while about 28% want to lower their stress levels. Nearly as many want to move up the ladder of success, while 19% say they want to eat healthier at the office, and just 17% say they plan to take courses or get more training. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Kansas State prisons are losing correction officers in droves because of low pay. They're starting pay about 33% less than the state's average hourly wage of 2020, and their overall wages are about a quarter lower than the national average. Things are so bad that state's hiring 18-year-olds to manage hardened criminals. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. In a yet-to-be-aired television interview, Prince William opens up about his experience of fatherhood, saying it's made him more emotional and more prone to welling up. correspondent Karen Chamas reports.
In the interview, the royal said that becoming a parent has made him more aware of how precious life is, admitting that whereas before, in his words, he never used to get too wound up about things, he now feels more affected by world events since becoming a father. The 33-year-old has two children, Princess Charlotte, born in May, and two-year-old Prince George. The ITV programme, to be aired Monday in Britain, is about Prince Charles's charity, the Prince's Trust, set up 40 years ago. I'm Karen Chamas.
Star Wars The Force Awakens remains the top movie for the third week. It raked in an estimated $88.3 million over the New Year's weekend, becoming the second highest earner of all time, with $740.3 million in just 19 days of release. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. You are joining the second hour of We the People Radio. We're not exactly shifting gears. We're going to continue on with Pastor Guy Asherman. He's here from Reading Christian Fellowship. And if you're listening to us on the East Coast, it's okay. It's you know, your basic Christian church. Yeah. You have them too. I just don't know what they're called.
They're called Christian
churches. They're just called Christian churches, I think. Yeah, probably. So, you know, we were talking the first hour. We were chatting with Shelley from CareNet, and if you've missed that hour, I do hope you go back and listen to it. There are some creepy, scary laws coming, and if California's doing it, unfortunately, we're broadcasting from the hub of stupidity here. And actually, it's like the hub of evil at this point, because this is just not a good direction to take. So you had pointed out some stuff that I think people should probably hear. We get all the good intel on the break.
Well, you know, you're so right about this dark and light that even in churches we're afraid to call sin sin anymore.
Oh, yeah, because that would be mean.
It'd be mean. It would be intolerant. You would be a bigot, you know. So even within our Christian communities, we have become a little bit hesitant to buy into the language of the Scriptures. And we kind of hide that underneath being culturally sensitive. And in the name of cultural sensitivity, we have watered down the message of light versus dark so much so that people can't even see the difference anymore. Well, because in large part, there isn't that much of a difference. But as a message of hope, and many churches, many, many, many churches do believe that the darker it gets, the lighter the light will shine.
That's true.
The brighter it will shine. And the contrast is going to become greater and greater. And so I just tell people, let it shine, you know. And the Lord will take care of all of the rest of it, whatever that means. But we were talking during the break about this idea of belief systems. And I think that's what you were asking about.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we have this notion that a secular society, which we are, is a neutral society. And I want to suggest that there is no worldview, there is no philosophy that is neutral. Every system of belief or unbelief is a system of belief. So there are people today, many, many of them in this country, who are saying, well, I don't believe. Well, what they mean by that is I don't believe in God. But they definitely do believe in something.
Sure, they've got a view.
Sure.
They've got a personal opinion or a personal view.
Over everything.
Well, even if you're an atheist, that's a belief in something.
Absolutely.
Even if it's a belief in...
Well, it's a belief in science, it's a belief in rational thinking, and yada, yada. There are things that we're trying to build in this country by design that I disagree with, this idea of diversity that says that we can all be as diverse as we want to be, and we're all free to be whoever we want to be. The problem is that whatever group happens to be in power is not going to let everybody else do it.
Yeah.
Christians, of course, have been accused of that for centuries. Interestingly enough now, it's the shoe's on the other foot. And I don't think it means that one is worse or bad more than the other. I think it just points to the reality that we all live by a worldview. We all live by a system of belief or unbelief that elevates to some level, ours over yours. Otherwise, we wouldn't believe it, right?
Right.
So obviously, I have a belief system that I think is better than others, because if theirs was better, I would then have their belief system.
You would
system.
Join them.
Right. So what is coming, and I think that there is a very strong spiritual element with this, and I don't know that I can articulate it well. I need to work on it. But it is interesting to me that when people change in their worldview, they don't change in one area or two. It seems like people are going lock, stock, and barrel with this or with this. And so when people say, by way of, you know, I'm neutral, I'm secular, I don't have any biases or prejudices, I find that these people actually buy into a whole arena of systems.
They're usually super hardcore biased against people who have a religious worldview.
Yeah.
And it's ugly.
It is very ugly.
I mean, all you have to do is go online and look at any article that broaches this subject, and you see the really
venom.
Extreme, really extreme. Which
well,
is
a lot of what you hear, too, is people say, well, I believe in God, but I don't believe in organized religion. That's where all the problems start. So I just practice in my own way. What do you say about that?
Well, I don't know that a person has to be a part of organized religion. I'm not altogether sure I know what they mean. I'm not altogether sure they know what they mean. Obviously, our walk with God is very personal.
Mm-hmm.
Our salvation, our experience of having our sins forgiven, and the gifting of eternal life, that has powerful, powerful impact on people's lives. Usually, however, when people say, well, I'm not a part of organized religion, is their way of saying, I just reject the message of religion altogether. It's kind of a...
And I'm all for silencing them, by the way.
Yeah.
Usually. That's the
Well, that's the
other
part
next.
Of it. That's the other part of it. I want to believe what I believe, but I don't want you to be able to organize against my belief.
I actually have a comment about this idea of choosing what it is that we believe. The word heretic in the New Testament, the Greek word, is actually a word that can be translated one who chooses. And I don't even think that Christians have a right to choose what they believe. We either believe truth or we don't.
Yeah.
Okay, so this smorgasbord idea of I'm going to pick and choose whatever it is that I think meets best with my needs is actually the definition of heresy. There's no room for that in Scripture. I know people love that, and that's, you know, it's part of our pop psychology, pop Christian kind of society we live in. But from the strictest standpoint, from the Word, God tells me what to believe. I don't decide what to believe.
But having said that, how do we justify all the different Christian I don't want to say religion, denominations.
Right.
How do we do that? Because I think a lot of the denominations spring from previous denominations that maybe believed in something that they didn't believe in, so they broke away and started their own.
Ditched the part they didn't like.
Ditched the part they didn't like, and now we have our own.
Sure. Well, I think the church has not been real good at choosing what hill do we die on. They have not been real good at deciding what are the majors versus what are the minors in the things that I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we live in a very diverse Christian world today with all kinds of different denominations, hundreds if not thousands of them, I would venture to say that a vast majority of those would agree collectively with 95% of what the other is teaching.
Yeah.
But because we do choose to major on minors, we choose those little areas sometimes to be an element that we decide to break off on. Now, I don't know that that's bad. We fellowship with people that we have the most harmony with in terms of how we feel, how we worship, and those kinds of things. So I don't think it's a bad thing necessarily. But when it comes time to be a fellow stone thrower at a common enemy, those differences need to go away. That's probably not the best analogy in the world to use. But I can stand with any church in Redding, California, against certain things that are a threat to all of us. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean we're going to sit down together and
worship. The problem is, what happens, it's weird. I mean, I'll just be offensive. We turn into the French, you know, when there's a threat. You know, the terror level goes from run to hide. So the French are actually doing a pretty good job these days. All those jokes are kind of not right anymore, but the churches kind of hide, like this issue of of the pregnancy centers.
Yeah.
I wonder how many churches will actually come out and support them, seeing that it's their issue, when it's kind of like, hey, they're not here for us. So,
well, I think a lot of them are really, really afraid to be on the front line.
On the radar.
On the radar,
exactly,
and end up being on somebody's government list and lose their, which I don't know if it's ever been done. They always say, well, I don't want to lose my nonprofit status as a church, so I'm not going to push the envelope.
What would happen if they did that? What would happen if churches collectively just said, hey, you know what? We don't care. You can't hold that over us anymore. Fine. Tax us.
Well, that would be wonderful if all the churches did that. The problem is all the churches
won't.
Well,
they won't. But what if they did? I mean, would that, is that really a deal breaker?
It's more complicated, and let me explain
why. Yeah, that, I guess, because I hear this a lot.
The idea of the church being exempt from the sovereignty of the state, we happen to think that the church itself is sovereign under God. We also think that the government is sovereign only under God. But we do not think the government is over the church, and we do not think the church is over the government. It doesn't mean that God isn't in both. It just means as an organization, the church and the state are different entities, but they can still have the same beliefs, as obviously our founding fathers had the same belief as the
Well, our founding fathers did, but I guess I have to take issue with that. I'm not sure our government does support a godly view at this point.
No, I don't think they do either.
No.
No, not at all. But getting back to this idea of sovereignty and taxation, the government hasn't forever been giving, since 1776, tax-exempt status to churches. In fact, the IRS Form 1023 that you have to fill out in order to get a 501c3 status actually says you don't have to file it in order to be a church. But what has happened is, Christians are cooperative. We're good people. We want to help the state. We don't want to be stick in the muds. We understand that government has responsibilities under God. And so are there people who are abusing the nonprofit status? Clearly there are people who abuse that. So we work with, we help, and so forth. But the idea of actually being sovereign and not a subject of the state, the idea that we actually cannot be taxed by the state, is not determined whether or not we have a slip of paper in our file somewhere that says the government tells us we can or cannot be taxed. What determines whether or not a church is taxed is determined by the sovereignty of Jesus over his church. So if the state comes in and taxes the church, the church pays it, the church is acknowledging that the state is over the church and the church is subject to the government. So whether or not they give us that classification or not, and churches, by the way, very divided on this issue, almost all of them.
Oh, really?
They don't even want to talk about it.
No.
We've gone from run to hide.
Yeah. But churches today... we don't pay taxes not because the government says so. We don't pay taxes because Jesus is Lord. It's his church. They're here people as they assemble. Now, as individuals, clearly we pay taxes. As individuals, I am a subject of the state, and I do have to obey that law. But the assembled group of believers that we call church, that the Bible calls church, is an entity that is owned by Jesus Christ. And Jesus, believe it or not, Uncle Sam, does not owe taxes to you. Jesus Christ is actually above you. It's not under you.
All day.
Yeah, every day.
All day, every day. We have to take a really quick break. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. And we'll be right back.
You're listening to AM 1460, and you're tuned to We the People.
Welcome to Wellgate Sports Club. I'm Deanne Lawrence, your membership director. Every member of the Wellgate team have raised the bar to ensure that you, as a valued member, will experience high-end amenities and a quality of service that exceeds fitness industry standards. At Wellgate Sports Club, we understand that each member has unique fitness and lifestyle goals.
Hi, I'm Tina Brandt, Team Training Director. Wellgate Sports Club has implemented several small group training programs, including our popular saltwater aquatic group training, and now the TNT program, which offers the expertise and direction of a certified personal trainer without the expense of one-on-one personal training. All Wellgate Sports Club trainers are credentialed, experienced professionals who are committed to our members achieving their health and fitness goals. To inquire about Wellgate small group training programs, please contact the Wellgate Fitness Director at 530-768-1205. Wellgate Sports Club, where you will experience exceptional every day.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, groceries, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocery. Mighty Fine, 299 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
Based on the smash hit movie that defined a generation, Flashdance is now live on stage. Across the country, critics and audiences are raving that Flashdance is a super sexy blockbuster, a superbly choreographed, astonishingly danced, Broadway-bound musical. You'd be a maniac to miss it. Flashdance features hot new songs, plus hits like Maniac, Manhunt, and What a Feeling.
Reading Civic Auditorium, January 24th. Get tickets at the box office, 229-0022, or readingcivic.com. Presented by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Probably not going to hear that one either.
The 60s was a decade of enlightenment.
It really was. Can you believe it? Really, a lot of 60s music. It all has meaning. So somebody sent me this. I modified it a teeny bit because it had political parties that I frankly didn't think it fit. But
okay.
To all our liberal listeners, please accept no... Please accept, with no obligation, implied or implicit, our best wishes for an environmentally conscious, socially responsible, low-stress, non-addictive, gender-neutral celebration of the winter solstice holiday practiced within the most enjoyable traditions of the religious persuasion of your choice or secular practices of your choice. That's a very long sentence. I have to keep breathing. With respect for the religious, secular persuasion and or traditions of others or their choice not to practice religious or secular traditions at all. We also wish you a fiscally successful, personally fulfilling, and medically uncomplicated recognition of the onset of the generally accepted calendar year of 2016, but not without due respect for the calendars of other choices of other cultures whose contributions to society have helped make America great. Not to imply that America is necessarily greater than any other country, nor that only America in the West is that only America is in the Western Hemisphere. Also, the wish is made without regard to the race, creed, color, age, physical ability, religious faith, or sexual preference. And then to all our conservative listeners, Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year. Thank you, Tom, from Palisadro. I read that last night, and I was like, oh, my gosh, isn't that just the hell
of it? It's about the way it's got to be.
Good grief.
It's terrible. It really is.
It's just about that stupid.
Yeah. Because secularism is not neutral.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you have to have, I mean, honestly, all those disclaimers are things that we read about all the time.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. How do you ever arrive at a, it's no wonder we can't get anywhere, you know?
Sure.
We can't fix it. People are like, well, we can't fix anything. Well, we can't fix it because we can't talk about it.
Right.
You know, Brown University has to have an underground group where they talk about, where they can talk about anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a secret club.
Yeah.
I mean, how crazy is that?
Yeah. Well, a politically correct system that we now live under has eliminated our freedom of speech. I think we all know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's judging everything on the basis of their values and not anybody
else. Yeah, freedom of speech today has definitely got a price.
Well, it has consequences.
Yes.
Can I read a couple quotes?
Please do.
With you guys? This is from Daniel Webster. I'm going back to our founding fathers, okay? And he makes a statement that certainly grabs my attention. To preserve government, we must also preserve morals. Morality rests on religion. If you destroy the foundation, the superstructure must fall. When the public mind becomes impaired and corrupt, laws are a nullity and constitutions are a waste of paper. He's right.
No, absolutely.
Because it is a piece of paper with words on it, and then if we as a charactered or uncharactered people, either we have it or we don't, or some gray areas in between, but the more corrupt we become in terms of our view of human nature, in terms of our views of God, that in fact the Constitution does not support us because our form of government requires a charactered people who govern themselves. That's what freedom is. Freedom is not the right to do anything you please to do. Freedom means you have the right to govern your own life without us imposing, you know, how you should live your life. The problem today is that we've become so irresponsible socially and morally that we don't manage our own lives. So there takes this big, huge monster of a bureaucracy that has to step in and say, okay, we're in charge now because obviously you can't handle it.
Yeah, the government is our new morality.
But we allow that.
We do. It's our fault.
It's our fault.
Yes. No question. Mm-hmm. No question. I wanted to share a couple of other things in regards to this idea that unbelief is a belief system.
Mm-hmm.
We have been talking for decades about the Humanist Manifesto. I'm assuming that perhaps that's something you guys know of. Humanism is not humanitarianism. Listeners need to know it's
Yeah, it's not excessive niceness.
It's not. Humanism is a philosophy, a worldview that has an agenda. It doesn't include God, so they don't call it a belief system, but clearly it is a belief system. Here are some things that they say. And I'm quoting now from the Humanist Manifestos 1 and 2. The Humanist Manifesto 1 was like 1933. The second one was 1973. And as I read that document, and I encourage all your listeners, it's a very, very small, thin paperback. It takes an hour to read it. But as I read through this, I'm saying, you know what? They've done it. From 1973, they said, this is what we're going to do, and they have done it.
Well, it's the long game.
It is the long game,
and
we get impatient, don't we?
Yes, we do.
But this is what they say about salvation. They say salvationism is harmful, diverting people with false hopes of heaven thereafter. Reasonable minds look to other means for survival. Humanism offers an alternative to faith that can serve present-day needs and guide humankind toward the future. The next century, which would be the one we're currently in, they said in 1973, the next century can be and should be the humanistic century. So you begin to see a part of what their belief system and structure is. Yes, they don't believe in God, but it's not just a neutral position on who God is. It is an antithetical position. If I could read some more, is that okay?
Sure, sure. Go ahead.
Have a field day. I'm linking the Humanist Manifesto online as we speak.
Awesome. They say traditional moral codes fail. Messianic ideologies cannot cope with existing world realities. They separate rather than unite people. Truth has a way of doing that, right? Traditional dogmatic and authoritarian religions do a disservice to the human species. Belief in the supernatural, it is either meaningless or irrelevant to the question of survival and fulfillment of the human race. We are non-theists. Well, they're actually anti-theists. So that's the philosophy that has captured our society today. This is who we are.
Well, it's an easier path to follow. You don't really have the big rules anymore. You know, you do what feels right to you, and nobody will judge you.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be fine.
And there's never consequences.
Never consequences. No.
No.
No. And the sad part is that takes a long time to really seep into our society, but more and more people are believing it now, and it is coming to pass.
It is.
It is. And that's why I say I just wish the Christian community could somehow unite, because there's so many things, like you said, that we do agree on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's unite on those things. And that would be probably the strongest and largest voting block in this country, even though we aren't a Judeo-Christian country.
I think something like 34% of Christians voted.
Yeah, isn't that sad?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what the percentage is for the general population, but it just seems like we as Christians, we're the ones that do the most screaming and hollering, and yet we don't get out and do anything about it.
Well, it's all about perfection. You know, if it isn't, you know, we were talking about
it isn't
about
Jesus.
The, well, and we killed him, so obviously we're not even really all that accepting of perfection.
Right,
so.
Right.
But we keep looking for it.
Sure, sure.
I think that's going to be the trick in 2016 is to help people understand that, well, not voting has a consequence. Again, that not belief system is a belief system.
Mm-hmm.
The people who didn't vote in 2012 did vote.
Exactly.
Not playing isn't.
Yeah.
So it has consequences.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So do you have any ideas on how to get the Christian vote out? I mean, is there any like magic bullet that nobody has discovered yet to get these people out and vote?
Well, many churches do have, you can register to vote. We don't tell people what party they should register for. And so we do, a lot of churches do take significant steps to get people involved with it. We oftentimes teach, especially around election time, that, you know, if you don't vote, you don't have a right to complain.
That's right. Absolutely.
And so please get out and vote, and please vote your biblical values. And so we're trying. We're not quite sure what the magic answer to that is.
Well, people will say all the time, you know, I don't want to pick the lesser of two evils.
Yeah.
And
so I just won't vote.
So I won't vote.
Well, by not voting, they have picked the greater of two evils.
Exactly.
Yes. They've chosen the third worst choice.
Yeah. And I don't think folks really understand that. I think they get this year. Let's face it, this year is going to be frustrating politically.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot of bad things
happen.
No,
I think a lot. I think we're going to have to vote for the best, worst candidate. You know, I mean, unfortunately, that's the way it's got to be.
Well, there are no perfect people.
There are no perfect candidates.
I mean, I always laugh. I tell people, I'm going to pick somebody who doesn't hate the country. So pick somebody who doesn't hate the country, who doesn't hate the citizens, and who isn't maybe a socialist, communist, or Marxist.
Yeah, good luck.
You know, I guess my needs are preferably, they're getting smaller.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I, you know, in all honesty, and I think this goes back to what we talked about earlier, that this is our fault, Bill, that I don't think a politician...
Yeah, Bill.
I didn't say Bill is the fault. I said it's not our
fault.
Oh, Bill said
I misunderstood.
But
I turned over the rock.
No, in agreement to what you have said, I don't think politics is going to save this country.
No.
And I don't even know what qualifies as a definition of save this country. I think we mean returning to some values that we used to have. But if we're not prepared as a people in terms of our own character, of accepting responsibility for our lives and making good moral choices, a politician isn't going to be able to help us. Politicians that we have are simply a reflection of who we, the voters, have put into
place.
That's
the funny part. Yeah. You know, people will complain all the time, well, we need to get rid of, you know, Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
Like, I think she gets like 80% of the vote in her district.
Right, yeah.
That's not our, I mean, we don't have the ability to get rid of her. But they look at it like the people in Congress elected themselves.
Yeah.
Like they voted for each other.
Yeah.
Like they're all from different districts. They don't even get to vote
for
each other.
The bottom line is they got elected by the people in their district. So let's take a look at the district and see what's going on there.
Yeah. And a lot of times those are places where people stay at home.
And if it's not working out well for you, let's redraw those lines of those districts to make sure that we can get reelected.
But you look at like the Al Frankens of the world and you think, what? You know, how did that happen?
Yeah. But I do think that there has to be a cultural revival. Before anything is going to change. And, of course, from my worldview perspective, I think that that means God needs to intervene and we need to see hearts changed individually, heart by heart by heart, is how we have to be able to see the fruit of our faith being lived out in our communities, which then in time has a greater impact upon what our whole culture and society is.
Well, you see it, you know, just in case people weren't sure that we were in like a good versus evil, I don't think it gets more clear than the whole Muslim thing where they're going to chop off people's heads and things like that. It doesn't really get more evil than that.
Yeah. How do you not see this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty obvious. It isn't like it's a subtle subtle mind war, you know.
Yeah.
Now we're going to come right back. You are listening to We the People Radio. Oh, thought we lost Bob. You were napping. I could see you napping over there. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
It's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
Carl, it's holiday time, and I feel like a special holiday mocha. Take me to Espresso Joe's Inside Tobacco and Brew right now.
Yeah, and while we're there, let's walk next door to the finest walk-in humidor in the North State and find some great cigars for your dad, your brother, and me. Some of the highest-rated cigars by Cigar Aficionado.
That's right, and we can browse and buy special coffee beans, tea accessories, and let's look through the wonderful wine selection. That's 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Hop in the truck, hon. Let's go.
Our culture of compassionate, patient-centered quality healthcare is our mission at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Providing superior clinical excellence across a wide array of specialties is why Shasta Regional is ranked as one of America's top 100 hospitals for the second year in a row and named again as a top 50 cardiovascular hospital. We are proud to be recognized as a leader for quality care and patient outcomes, and for our commitment to treating people well in our community. Taking a kinder, more gentle approach to wellness is an important part of healthcare. We strive to make minimally invasive diagnostic and treatment decisions whenever possible, helping patients receive the best care available, resulting in quicker recovery and a rapid return to normal activities. At Shasta Regional, our physicians, nurses, and staff emphasize treating the whole person and not simply the ailment, resulting in the highest level of care. We know medical care can change the body, but treating people well can change lives.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Kind of the song for the year.
We need a driver.
Yeah, please.
Please.
Please take the wheel. It's not going well. We're careening. So you're rejoining We the People Radio. You can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us. We're here with Pastor Guy Asherman. We're kind of talking about, I don't know, New Year stuff. Christianity. Last year wasn't a good year for Christians.
This year's going to be worse.
I think this year's going to be a ton worse. I hate to be a negative
Nancy, but... It's going to be a very testing year.
And for those folks that follow us online, I did find kind of an interesting list of the top 10 most read stories of the persecuted church. It was 2015 in review, and it has all those linked. And the pictures, you know, the classic pictures, crosses being taken off churches, a boatload of refugees, and the guys in the orange jumpsuits with the scary ISIS guys behind them. It was that kind of year.
Yeah.
And I kind of don't see that changing, do you?
Well, I don't think we have the resolve or the conviction. It gets back to right and wrong.
Yeah.
And there is also a real fundamental basic difference in our understanding of what's wrong with mankind. Because, you know, the word on the street today is that, you know, these poor people who are cutting people's heads off, they have been rejected and they've been ridiculed. And, you know, it's whatever we have done to them as a country, to other countries, that has made them hate us. We're very naive about this idea that human nature is good. If you're nice to people, they will be nice back. That's not true.
Yeah,
we as human beings, including myself, we have a great capacity for evil. And without the direction, of course, from my worldview, it would be the leadership of God in my life that says there are things you can do and things you shouldn't do, guy.
Sure.
Wise up or I'm going to knock you alongside the head. And I didn't mean that literally. I guess I have to be careful here.
No, you really
this
don't.
Feels like
actually.
A living room sitting here, you know, and I have to remember that, no, there's more people listening.
There are other people out there. That's okay. They'll get over it.
And that's the whole thing also with humanism. I applaud some of their ideals. They want a better world. They want a happier world. They just happen to believe that if we are kinder and nicer, that we can produce that. I think that we have too many thousands of years of human history that indicates that it's not quite that easy. And there are people who are evil. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's associated with whatever their religion is. Are there Christians who are evil? There sure are.
Sure.
And so, you know, fundamentally we have to evaluate our faith in mankind. You either have a faith in God or you have a faith in mankind or, you know, some gray areas in between there. But I think that an awful lot of the secular folks today, they have a greater faith in mankind than I do. I'm not that optimistic. Is that terrible?
No, because you look at it and you think, okay, the good people, again, have kind of moved their terror threat from run to hide. Mm-hmm. So instead of, you know, you at first maybe you run away from it, right. But at some point, you know, I always think about our, we had this dog, he used to like to chase cats, but he was really afraid of them. Yeah. And so he'd run and run and run, and if the cat...
Until he caught him.
Well, the cat would stop. Like, yeah. There was this one time he's running to beat the band, he's a little dog, you know, he's running along, mm-hmm. and the cat stops, turns around and faces him, and he, if he could have been whistling, he like walked by like... like hardly saw you there. Whoa, almost ran right over you. You know, it's like, and that's kind of what we're doing as a society. Mm-hmm. Is we chase it. When it turns around and stares us in the face, it's like, woo, didn't know that was coming.
It's all rhetoric.
We don't.
No action.
Yeah, we don't. Well, I think sometimes it's, again, you're a hater, you're a bigot, you're a.
Right.
And at some point, we're going to have to kind of call that and say, you know, I don't think you can take over our whole country. I don't think you can come here and blow things up and kill people. And
it doesn't matter what your religion is. You're going to kill people.
Yeah. And it isn't workplace violence, and we know that. And it isn't, all those things.
I think we're starting to see the general attitude of people starting to change a little bit. I mean, we've been going through this now for this whole PC thing for a lot of years. And I think it's crested. I think it's got to the point now where people are
swinging so far the other way.
And I think that's human nature is to really swing hard the other way before we get back to a neutral position. But I think people are finally starting to realize that there are people out there that don't think like we think, that aren't raised like we were raised, that don't like us and want to kill us. Mm-hmm. And
well, and then let's go a little farther to my favorite topic, wolves. You know, we need to have apex predators, you know, right there on the edge of our community.
Well, we are swinging hard.
I know. See, you see me go? Yeah. Well, it's because, you know why? Because I was reading this humanist thing, their little list of affirmations. Mm-hmm. Religious humanists regard the universe as self-existing and not created. Mm-hmm. Two thumbs down. Humanism believes that man is part of nature. Mm-hmm. See how I got there?
We're an animal.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And that he has emerged as a result of a continuous process. And it's like, what?
I think
Bill's mom's going on a trip to Ecuador. So I said, well, what's going on in Ecuador anyway? Over Christmas, you know. And she goes, well, I don't know. So I looked on my phone. I thought, well, hey, let's get some fun facts for you. So I'm looking at the population, blah, blah, blah. Oh, by the way, in Ecuador, animals, bugs, trees, and like flora and fauna have rights. They have lawyers. They get to have lawyers.
We're kind of there.
No, I'm super not kidding. I forgot to tell you that. Huh. Yeah, your mom's going to a place where she could be tried by a leaf. Not good.
She won't be tried by a leaf.
And it's not the $60,000 car.
There might be a leaf on the jury, but...
Yeah. Some moss of your peers.
But I agree with you, Bill.
But how nutty is that?
I think that hopefully we have turned a corner. And
I have to believe we have. I just kind of see that.
It's gone far enough?
Yeah.
We've gone to the precipice, looked over, and we're coming back.
It's so ridiculous that even those who are for it are kind of shying away from it because it's like, no, I don't want to be associated with that. That's too crazy for me.
Right, right.
This thing that happened down in San Bernardino, it took us a week or two to say it was terrorism.
Right.
You know, in France, that day they were calling it terrorism.
I know. See, you know, they've...
Because we're afraid we're going to offend somebody who blows people up. You know, it's absurd.
Well, they're raiding their churches over there, and they're finding all sorts of stuff. Gee, imagine that they're teaching people how to be terrorists there, that they're storing weapons, that they have videos showing you how to build bombs in these quote-unquote churches. Mm-hmm. Well, those are not churches.
Right.
Those are training points.
That's exactly right.
And unfortunately, we don't seem to be willing to say that. And oddly enough, I mean, the same thing with our environmental policy. You know, we're not willing to say that some of this stuff is completely crazy. Mm-hmm. We're the guys, the show right before us, we were reading a little bit about it online with the Hammond family up in Oregon. Mm-hmm. They had a fire that burned off their property onto public land, and now they're being put in prison? A 70-year-old man going to prison?
Didn't they have like a local militia group kind of show up here recently?
Yeah, which they weren't happy about because then it sort of messed up their message. But but bottom line is, why are we putting people in prison for
doing what the land needs?
Yeah, and it burned over the line, you know. But look at the EPA. They poisoned a whole river. And, oh, I'm sorry, what happened to them?
Yeah.
Zero.
Oops.
Yeah. It's very interesting. We're seeing those really radical inequities. You know.
I saw one today.
Yes.
Before our services started, I was just kind of reading through, surfing a little bit. What's the latest? Because if something happens that's drastic, I need to mention it in church, right?
Oh, sure.
So I'm just reading through, and I saw this article. Governor Jerry Brown has some property just a short ways from Williams.
Yeah.
And he has a little shed on it that is big enough to put an air mattress in to sleep on. And he also has an outhouse. And so he loves it there. He's, you know, he goes there like many weekends during the year, and they love it and everything. And the first thing that popped in my mind was, outhouses are illegal, Governor Brown. In the state of California, it's illegal to have an outhouse.
Really?
It is.
I did not know that.
It is. And so
we have outhouse police now?
We do, yes. We have police for everything.
So they're the same ones that police you if you try to put water on your driveway during the drought.
Oh, yeah.
That same guy. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Bill is still bitter about
that. I drifted
that.
There.
Well, all I'm saying is that even the people who are passing these laws, I don't think they believe
don't
them either.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, you see that a lot. You see that a lot with the agency things, and they can get away with whatever they want.
Another example that I came across here a couple of weeks ago talking with some folks who worked for Cal Fire, they can get as much overtime as they want. If they're fighting a fire, they're not required to log in, log out this many hours and so forth. But if they have a contractor who's out there helping them, they are restricted. So we're making laws that everybody else in the private sector has to abide by, but we don't have to.
Right.
It's very common.
The government doesn't have to.
Right.
Right.
That's the same property near Williams that Governor Brown looked into to see if it was frackable.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. That's right.
That's why I was chuckling.
That's right.
Yeah.
Was it frackable? They got mad at him that he was even asking. Was
it? Evidently it is.
Oh, my God.
But he's against capitalism and growth and, you know.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's all going to be...
But if it's on my property, it's okay.
Woohoo! Cash cow!
Yeah.
I know.
If the property ends up in the state of Jefferson, how awkward will that be?
Oh. Kind of awesome, actually. I feel like we took him hostage. Or gave him back, actually.
He would move.
Yeah, yeah. We'll trade you out.
Yeah, I don't think he would be in power.
Well, it is kind of... That kind of thing, that type of inequity, that's brought down civilizations in the past.
You know, if for those readers who... you're exactly right. It does bring down, because people have no confidence or trust in anybody. But for your readers who are familiar with the scriptures or have an interest in it, in Isaiah chapter 59, there is a very, very good description of this idea that truth has fallen in the streets and equity or fairness is not allowed to enter. And those who try to stand up for what is right make themselves prey to those who are against you. And that's the way it is today. The more we stand up for what is right, the more people attack us, the more we become hunted and sought after by those who want to silence our message. And I think that's, you know, it was true 3,000 years ago, and it's kind of true today. And I guess it's been true off and on through civilization since
but it's really becoming obvious.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You know, even within, it just seems like everybody's having a thing. I was just looking at the Saudi Arabia severs diplomatic ties with Iran. Because they killed somebody. They killed the Shiite cleric.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, we're going to take our ambassador guys back. We're going to close our deal. You're out.
Yeah.
Nobody seems to be able to figure it out.
No, I don't think so. The world is very confused. Our country is very confused. And there's actually some biblical references to the confusion that comes.
We're doing smoke signals over here.
So
yeah, interesting times.
I've been terribly negative here today. I think
not that we've given you any material.
No, right. from a positive standpoint.
Yeah.
I think conscience and self-respect are two very, very incredibly important attributes for people to have. And I think what matters is that each of us individually lives by the dictates of our own conscience, no matter if anybody else is or not. Because then we're able to hold our chin high and say, I did what I believe to be right in my conscience before my God. I respect myself for standing firm. I'm not angry because I didn't. By the way, I think that that's why the entitlement nation is so angry today, is because we have deprived people from self-respect.
Yes.
And when you lack self-respect, you're an angry person. And I think, you know...
Well, you just don't have the value. You don't have the self-worth that allows you to stand up and be proud of yourself.
We never gave them the opportunity to go after it themselves. We bailed a little bit too soon for a lot of folks. And that's not to be... unkind to people who genuinely need it. Don't misunderstand me. But, hold your head high, believe what you believe, stand for it, and whatever happens around us, it happens.
It's interesting. This just came in my email. The devil whispers, "You cannot withstand the storm," and the warrior replies, "I am the storm."
Yeah, that's good.
It's like, that'd be like our year this year. All right, we're going to come right back. Take one last quick break. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Listening to We the People on Community Talk Radio for the North State, AM 1460 KCNR.
It's Ladybot and the Bluebirds, January 7th in Elements Lounge at Wind River Resort and Casino. Join me, Linda Bott, as I sing my favorite songs from the American Songbook. My special guest will be Bernie Baker on guitar, along with Cleveland Bonet on keyboards, Bruce Kalin on bass, and Bobby Veramontes on drums. Call 243-3377 for reservations today. That's Romance on the River.
NorCal Limousine Services is a family-owned business right here in Reading. We offer beautiful limousines and sedans with rates starting as low as $55 per hour. Do you have kids? We have amazing birthday packages for as low as $150. Sure, they can jump around all day or enjoy a memorable birthday they will talk about for years to come with NorCal Limousine. Driving to any of the major airports from Reading can be a drag. Ride with us in style and avoid the long drive and parking fees. We service the Sacramento and San Francisco airports as well as all the cruise lines.
Hello, my name is Jamie, the owner of NorCal Limousine, and I have over 14 years in experience in the limousine industry. I know how to treat you right and will always be discreet. If you have never rented a limo before, you should give us a call at 276-8851. It's more affordable than you think and a whole lot more fun than driving yourself.
Like our Facebook, check out our Yelp reviews, and mention KCNR for additional savings. That's NorCal Limousine at 276-8851 or NorCalLimo.com. TCP 31143.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
See, that one we can play today, because that's always a good song.
Yeah.
So in our last, 5-6 minutes, Mm-hmm. What do you have for folks?
Let me give you another quote or two. Can I do that?
Absolutely.
This was a statement made by John Adams, one of our founders and second president of the United States. He says, statesmen may plan and speculate for liberty, but it is religion and morality alone which can establish the principles upon which freedom can securely stand. It was a very clear understanding in the founding of our country that if freedom is going to exist, it has to exist because people have the capacity to govern their own lives. Faith in God certainly helps us to be able to do that. And then he says something that's really quite startling. He says, we have no government armed in power capable of contending in human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other.
As we're watching right now.
Yeah.
As we try to force our government on people that have never been governed like that.
Yeah, but even in our own system, people want... thing, you know, sure. We need to stop this, that, or the other. And it's like, hey, read your Constitution. Mm-hmm. There is no provision for lawless.
Right.
I mean, we were never designed to have a lawless.
No, there was an
executive
assumption.
Executive branch. I mean, whoever thought we'd have a president who just broke the law all the time?
Right. Right.
There's no rule in there for that. That right. was the rule.
The rule was take care of yourselves, people. And when you stop taking care of yourselves, then we're going to have to do it for you. And we're all, and today our society is saying, okay, take care of me. But we surrender our freedom for security, right? Mm-hmm. And who was
and
it?
And then we get neither.
Exactly.
Yeah. 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 When we swap over, then yeah. we get nothing. So we're watching the Second Amendment is going to have heavy, mm-hmm. Heavy weight put on it this year.
Yeah.
Well, they're already, you know.
Tomorrow night he's going to make some kind of a address to the nation about some kind of executive action he's going to make on gun control. That's
yeah,
tomorrow.
That'll go over well.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Yeah.
And then we're going to chip away at, well, I think we've already chipped away significantly at First Amendment.
Very much so.
And now we're going to infringe on the churches.
Mm-hmm. We're no longer a nation of laws. We used to be. We're no mm-hmm. longer. We're now a nation of whims. And whoever's in charge gets to just willy-nilly make their own choices.
Or just pick the laws we want to abide by.
Yeah, enforce those we like.
That's right. And totally ignore yeah. the rest of them.
Sure.
Yeah, and what do you do about that? You know, something will go to the Supreme Court to be interpreted. And they've been all over the place.
We don't have much confidence there either.
No. So we are kind of flying by that net a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
What would you? What do you advise people? Like when you talk about this at you know, in your church, what mm-hmm. do you? What do you tell folks
about specifically?
Take a deep breath. Take care of your own stuff. I mean,
yes, sort of. I say it's your life. Be responsible for it under the Lord's guidance, and you know, it's not anybody else's job to do that. It's your job to do that, and so.
And pray like your country depends on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Work like it all depends on you and pray like it all depends on him.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that we need to be involved. I think that Christians have been pushed aside. I also think that there is an element in our Christianity that has isolated itself because we didn't like people calling us names. So we just all went into the corner and sucked our thumb and stayed away from it all. We're a little bit too sensitive in this arena that is quite vicious nowadays in political mm-hmm. circles, that we're nice people. We don't want to get engaged with this unnice kind of communication. And I think that we just have to, you know, we're going to take a few shots on the chin, but that's okay. Get involved and live, number one, live your values. Number two, vote your values.
Exactly.
If you have to choose between the two, live is more important.
Yeah, this isn't the year to pull in your horns and hide. This is the year to be out front, or we'll be ruled by more bad people.
And I'm not sure we're going to stop it. But
if we don't try,
we have to try.
We know for sure we're not going to.
And we'll have the self-respect of knowing we tried.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there you have it.
Thank you, guys.
It's going to be an exciting and interesting
yeah.
year. So for folks that are listening, jump online, wethepeopleradio.us, and shoot us your suggestions, people that we can have on this year, folks you'd like to hear from, especially stories that need more than, you know, 5 minutes to be told. We're working on getting some of the information from Oregon Everybody's hearing about that these days on the Hammond case. So we're working to get somebody who can give us the full story.
By the way,
that'll be a biggie.
I'm hoping that we can do another rally in August and have Doug Amalfa there. I also want to have Brian Daly there, our local representatives. I'm also going to get some Christian attorneys up. And
nice.
We're gonna talk in pretty good detail. About
give people something to do.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you very much
for
being with us.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate you having me.
See you next week. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Aaron. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bob. Good night, John Boy.
Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us. This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
You guys have too much gun violence.
New York's governor says he's ordering cities statewide to take homeless people from the street to shelters when temperatures freeze. Andrew Cuomo says he has signed an executive order to protect the homeless that takes effect Tuesday. It calls for police departments and social service agencies to move people into shelters, including those reluctant to go. The Mississippi River and many of its tributaries are retreating from historic